Dear Lord, we thank you for Caroline and what she's going to bring to us today. Lord, help us to be challenged and to be thought-provoked by what Caroline has to say through you. And Lord, we thank you for this time and bless this time with us now in your name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we've been doing a running through a course called Freedom in Christ. And today's session is called Walking in Freedom. So, those of you who have a Bible, there's a three here to pass round. If someone hasn't got one or can't get the signal on their phone because it's weird. So it might be worth considering actually bringing a paper Bible. I know that's sort of anathema to those of you who are into technology, but it could be useful if we can't look it up on the electronic ether. Okay, I'd like someone to read 2 Peter 1, verse 3 for me.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
Okay, so we have everything we need in Jesus. Right, someone like to read Galatians 5, verse 1. In fact, read, oh yeah, just verse 1, Galatians 5, verse 1.
I've got the message.
Yeah, that'll do.
Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you.
Okay, so we're to stay in the place of freedom. Now, there are two sides to this. There's God's side, what he does, and then there's our side, our responsibility. God is responsible for saving us, for delivering us from sin and death and hell, for making us free from the power of the enemy. And that is a fact. Okay, it's a fact. It is a done deal. That is our position. Our responsibility is to walk in freedom. Okay, so we have a responsibility and God has a responsibility. And one of the problems that happens is that people get the two things confuzzled. We can't save ourselves and we stand on the sure foundation of what Jesus has done, but we are responsible for our own maturity or lack of it. And it is the maturing that enables us to walk day by day in the good of the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. In days gone by, people used to explain it with a phrase that there's a difference, if you like, between our sure standing, that's all that God has done, and our variable state, okay? So that's daily life and what happens. But actually the two, they're not, you know, as far as the east is from the west, like our sin is placed, they actually mesh together. Now, maturity is a really important issue, and that's basically what this session is about. Growing up requires us to be intentional and strategic. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, when there is immaturity amongst a group of believers, it creates an awful lot of problems. So, if you would like to find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Excuse me. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3, and I've got the New King James. So this is Paul writing to a church. And basically, all of the Corinthian writings is to a church that is essentially in special measures. So although there are lots of things that where we refer to the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, we need to also bear in mind that Paul is answering difficulties. So, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, that means they're worldly, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere human beings? I'm going to read the next verse as well. For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Now, what this was, that the people in this church actually had been Christians quite a while. But they were behaving as if really that almost becoming a Christian and being a Christian and walking the walk was new to them. And they had attached themselves, like there were cliques within this community. So someone was following, okay, if it was us, oh, well, I'm following Steve. Oh, no, I'm following Sharon, you know. And these people were perceived as being, and even the leaders were getting caught up in this. They weren't following Jesus. They'd fixed their eyes on a person who they perceived to be more spiritual than them and had taken their eyes off Jesus. And it was a real mess. And one of the things about Mosaic, I wouldn't say we've got it all worked out, but there is a Jesus focus amongst us. And whilst, like with when you have a new baby, they're utterly dependent on human intervention in every way. You know, you put the food in one end and it comes out the other. And you have to learn to interpret the noises that they make. You do want them to grow up. And it would be very uncomfortable to live with a 6'8" strapping chap who is still needing bottle feeding and nappy changing, and also had the temper of, say, a one-year-old child. That would be difficult to deal with. Now, there are situations in life where that is the case, but those people have special help and environment to live in. But it's not good when that kind of thing happens within a church community. And Paul was having to deal with immaturity amongst this group of people. And what had happened is these kind of cliques that were in there meant that you had groups that were kind of having friction with each other. So for a new believer, the most important thing is finding a community where you will be helped and supported, but also where your attention will be constantly transferred to Jesus, that he will be the object of the worship, of the life and community of that group of believers, that it is a Jesus-focused community. And when our focus is continually being brought back to Jesus, then there's a chance for maturity to happen within us. So, we've got Paul writing about maturity here. I said growing up needs to be intentional and strategic. With children, you want that eventually they should become adults in their own right, and that your conversation goes from being guiding and helping to being talking with equals. I mean, I know when I used to help out at Livewires, I could tell moments when some of those young people actually had become adults. And the conversation went from, you know, don't chew the gum or whatever it is, you know, respect the leaders, respect the property, respect each other. It went to, oh, a discussion about philosophical matters. And that was really great, because I could tell that that person had grown up, they'd become an adult. And that's really enjoyable. You enjoy their company. You're not on their case all the time. And there was strategic input from the parents of those young people, so that they would grow up and become positive influencers. Now, obviously, those of you who've got children who have grown up, there will have been the moments where you probably slept outside the bedroom door with one ear alert to make sure they were still breathing because they'd come home so drunk. But you want that shouldn't be a regular thing, that they go on to manage their own lives. And it's the same in the church, that we want that our people who join us become mature believers, become grown up, and are able to influence and help others. The Christian walk is an active one. We need to be proactive and active in how we walk our walk. For instance, if we wanted to know more of the Bible, it would be useless to say to the church, pray for me, because they could pray till the cows come home and got them in on the prayer meeting as well. And it would be pointless, because if you want to be more knowledgeable about Scripture, then you need to put your glasses on your face, open the book, read the words, and you have to do that. Okay? And there are lots of other things like that in the Christian life. These are our responsibilities for our growing up. If you want to pass an exam, you've got to go to the lectures, you've got to make notes, you've got to do the revision. And it would be pointless someone praying for you to pass your exam if you haven't done the work. God can use what we put in. When we absorb the scriptures, we may not realise actually how much we have absorbed. And sometimes when you do your, whenever you do your reading, you can think to yourself, well, I haven't remembered any of that. But I remember someone saying it can be a bit like muesli. You know, it's kind of, it's all right. It hasn't got the sugar rush that you might get from some other cereal, but it's doing your body good. But you may not remember what it was like when you ate your breakfast 2 days ago and you had muesli. The scriptures can be like that sometimes. It's not all going to be exciting and God's going to speak to you, but there will be that absorbing, that washing that God's word does to us. But we have to do it. Okay, I want to come to a particular thing because this needs to be practical. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to read from Hebrews 5:12 to 6 verse 2. Now, we're not entirely sure who the book of Hebrews was written by. There's been all sorts of speculations, and we won't go into that. But the writer is again talking about growing up. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that's God's word, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, that's it's a metaphorical phrase, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, that's practice, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And it's interesting, the writer thinks that all of these are really basic. These are not things that when you're further advanced in the Christian life, you go on to understand. These are basic principles. They're the foundations of what we believe. Now, the one I want to kind of home in on, because we could have lots of discussion about this, but I want to, like I say, I want this to be practical, is it says baptisms. Okay. Now, there could be a discussion about what that meant, and obviously the writer to the Hebrews is writing to Jewish people, but so at one level I'm probably taking this a little bit out of context, but I believe that there are three baptisms that are essential to the Christian. Now, the first one I call baptized into Christ. That's when you become a Christian. And it's as if you take a sponge and you put it into a bowl of water. The water is in the sponge is in the water. When we become Christians, we are in Christ. That's one of the foundational things. And Christ is in us through the work and person of the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about when we say the Holy Spirit is in us, for us. Okay, so baptized into Christ, becoming a Christian. Water baptism. This is the one that a lot of evangelical churches know about. It's called water baptism, believer's baptism. And this is a picture. It's a picture of the first baptism, if you like. When we submit to Jesus as Lord, receive him as Saviour, the water baptism is a sign or a symbol of our intention to follow Jesus and our identification with what was achieved for us on the cross.
So that's obviously an adult, not a baby.
It's all right. I don't have a problem with baptising a child or dedicating a child to God, but there must come a moment when they actually say, yes, I no longer am under the umbrella of my parents' beliefs. I believe this for myself, and therefore I'm going to do some sort of symbolic act to cement the reality of that. But I honour those who were baptised as children, their parents did it in faith, and I know people, there are some in this room, who would say they do not remember a day when they didn't know Jesus. And that was because of the faith of their parents, okay? So I think there is a slight difference in how we deal with those who were brought up in a Christian home to those who come in from outside of the church. There is a difference, okay? The water is a picture of the cross and the grave. We're dipped under the water and we symbolically leave our past, our sins there, and rise up out of the water to follow Jesus and the new way. It's a picture. It doesn't change anything, because if you're not entering into that heart, soul, mind and body, you go into it a wet Christian and come up a dry Christian, come up a wet Christian. So there's got to be intentionality, there's got to be an understanding of what that process is about. But that's what that is, so water baptism. And then there's the baptism in the Spirit. So, baptised into Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us for us. Baptism in the Holy Spirit on us for the world. And that's an empowering for life, for how we do some of the things that we do in the church and out of it. So, first of all, a question here. Have you, to your knowledge, received all three of those? Have you definitely been baptised into Christ? You've become a Christian. Have you made some profession of faith for yourself? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And I believe that being stuck sometimes in our Christian life can mean that one or more of these things is missing. Obviously, you haven't become a Christian, then the other two will be superfluous. But it's quite important that we have those three things in our lives. And they can help us if we decide that we do need. And if you have not been baptised, if you've not made a profession of faith in some shape or form, I would strongly encourage you to do that. Part of the process of baptism is that we would go through some teaching and ask some questions, and it may be that in the teaching and the asking of the questions, maybe the stuckness that you may be at will actually be diminished or completely done away with. is quite an important thing. But it's like a three-legged stool, and it's an important thing for us to think about. Responsibilities. We need to have a strategy. As we did reflect, it would be difficult to expect God to deliver us from something that we are hugging to ourselves or have on a piece of elastic. So if you had a problem with drink, for instance, it would seem a bit strange if you had your bottle and oh God, deliver me from drink. Oh God, deliver me from drink. You know, it's kind of going to be a problem. Because we're asking God to do something that actually is our responsibility. And we may need some strategy, we may need help, and we need to own it. One of the things about maturity is owning our stuff. It's no good just saying to God, oh yeah, I've sinned today, and we're not specific about what it was. Because if we're not specific about what it was, God can't forgive it. Because it's like, it's all vague and nebulous. We need to own it, whatever it is. And then, anyway, if we didn't own it, that'd be a cop-out. I have a friend who's just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. She's been given 3 months to make some really radical changes in her life because her life is actually in danger because she's got quite a number of other health issues. The tablets that she's been given make her feel terrible. She's a Christian, but there's no way she's asked me to pray for her because she knows that the responsibility is with her to make the changes necessary. I can pray for her, I can help her and support her, I can maybe buy her some of the things that will help her in her changing her diet, and I can make sure I buy her appropriate presents. Not chocolate. Not looking at anyone in particular. Now, she grew up in a in the country around Hailsham. Her mum cooked really hearty meals, always with dessert. The meals were interspersed with cakes and golden syrup toasties. And
you're going to try and tell me that's wrong.
But I would believe, probably, that type 2 diabetes has been nipping at her heels for quite a long time. And she actually knew that if you asked her about it. Her eating habits are still locked into her childhood. And so now she's struggling. She is struggling to make the changes that are necessary. But she's got to make changes for her health sake. And we need to sometimes make changes for our spiritual health's sake and for our growth in grace, our increasing awareness of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, of hearing from God that we can share with other people. All of these can easily be stymied if we do not own stuff and if we are unprepared to grow up. Now, in the past, there was a thing that people called a besetting sin. And sometimes that was something that would crop up again and again in the life of a believer. What we're not talking about something that occasionally trips you up when you're tired, maybe when you're not feeling well, and you kind of give in to something from the past. But something that's just there again and again and again. And so the two things. First of all, so these are the challenges that I'm going to leave. And there may be discussion needs to be had, prayer, whatever. And this is not necessarily the time for it. When we come to sing and to worship together, expect God to speak to you and ask God, what is it that I need to do? Do I need to be baptised? Do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I need to become a Christian if you're not sure that you are? Ask the questions and see what God is saying to us. And is there a strategy to be worked out in order that we might walk in the freedom that is our position? You know, it's a bit like school uniform. When I was a kid, because we didn't have a lot of money, my mum and my dad, they got the money out of the post office, and then they would buy me things that were too big because I would grow into them. So I had this, you know, like tunic that was sort of down, not quite to my ankles, but it was big, but because I was only little. But then, you know, after sort of 2 years, I'd grown a bit taller. And I think it was the third year at my secondary school, you could wear a skirt, navy blue skirt. So because I could sew, I'd the top half off this tunic and turn the bottom half into just the pleated skirt because the bottom half was pleated. My shirts had, you know, long, extra long sleeves and used to fold them up. But I grew into it. And there are some things that we grow into, but there are some things that we need to take authority over and tell them they need to go. So there may be some wisdom to be asked from people in the community here. But ask yourself, like I say, particularly the baptism, I think is quite important. Partly because there's a discussion about our spiritual life and maybe the past. There may be something that we're even unaware of in the past that God wants to deal with. And baptism teaching and preparation might bring that to light. And so we're...
Sorry.
That's all right. We'll ask the questions. I'm not getting at anybody. This is what the teaching was about that was in the next session for us to go through. So I'm going to pray, and then someone can prevail upon Steve to press all the right buttons, so that otherwise we'll be. I don't know what we'll be doing. Maybe just sing with a bit of tuning fork out. So, Father God, thank you that our position is one of freedom. We ask that you'll help us to be clear in our minds what is your responsibility and what is ours. And Lord, that we might, as we walk the walk with each other and with you, we might mesh together those two truths, that there are things that you do and there are things that we do. And Father, I want to pray that any influence or leftover stuff from the past that the enemy is able to use in any of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our spirits, Jesus, we want to take all of that captive and we want to say that it has no place in our minds and in our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you will be very present with us now as we sing, as we worship. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us and help us to ask the questions. Help us to be courageous enough to look at the strategy that we need to put in place that we might grow up and walk the walk. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.